So we're on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. The last thing we discussed was the case which is mentioned on the top of the Amud here of Asa Mitzara. Rashi learns it's a certain Hadas that comes from Mitzrayim, and it has seven leaves on each level, and that's how the Gemara explains that even if most of the leaves fell off, the Hadas still remains kosher because it has avos. And why does it have avos? Because what you're left with, even if out of the seven the majority of the leaves fell off, you're still left with three, and that's enough for avos. So that was the last thing we discussed. The Gemara has a havamina that Asa Mitzara, this Asa that comes from Mitzrayim, might be possible. It's not a classical case of Hadas. It has a Shem Levi, that means it's a different kind of a species. And the Gemara says, no, Kamashmalon, that it's kosher, and you could use it. And the Gemara derives this from a Pasuk. It says, Eitz Avos Mikol Makom. So that's about eight lines down from the top, and then we're up to Tanur Rabbanan and Yavshu Rav Olav. That's pretty much where we're up to. We should point out that at the end of the day, based on this drasha of Eitz Avos Om Rachmanog Mikol Makom, that this Asa Mitzra, this Egyptian Hadas is kosher, and even though it has seven olim and four of them fell off, most of them fell off, but nevertheless it still remains kosher because it's left with three. I would just like to perhaps enhance our understanding of this Gemara. What the Gemara might mean is that as a general rule we would say that if rov of the olim fell off, it should be possible. The unique status of this Asa Mitzra is that even though most of the olim fell off, it still remains kosher. Once we have the drasha that it's part and parcel of the hadasim, it's debria, we can give it entry into the club of hadasim, we could use it for the mitzvah. Now, oddly enough, instead of applying the principle of rov, of nashu rov olav pasul, meaning it's not hadar, it's not beautiful, the concept of hadar should be relative. It should be relative to what it looks like in its natural state. If it looks like, let's say, five olim, or seven olim in the case of Asa Mitzra, and most of the olim fell off, okay, I could grant you that the Asa Mitzra is called an Asa. Let's give it membership in the club of Hadassim. It belongs to the Hadassim club. But once most of its olim fell off, and if you compare what it looks like now, Nebuch, to what it looks like when it was born, when it grew into its original state, it looks a little bit Nebuchic, no? I would have thought that even if you granted the status of Hadas, but it's got to have at least Rov Olim. Meaning, if you look at the way it's normally grown, and it has seven Olim, then those seven Olim are integrated to form this Asa, and therefore it should have rov olim. Let's take your classical case of an asa. If you have a classical case of an asa, I would say that if two out of the three of the olim fall off, it loses its status of hadar. Okay, we'll see later on that maybe if the top level, that's going to be the next sugya, the top level has three olim, even though most of the other levels don't, it still remains, it maintains its status as hadar. Because at least at one level, and maybe it has to be the top level, that's the thing you see when it has hadar, because it's got most of its olim, it's got its three olim. But here we're talking about a case where the Gemara doesn't even qualify. The Gemara seems to assume that in the case of an Asa Mitzra, no matter where the olim fall off of, even if they would fall off, rov olim fell off from the top level, it would still be kosher and it would have the quality of hadar. How many olim are you left with?
Three.
Three. How many did you start with in its natural state as it grew?
Seven.
Most of its olim fell off. Shalom, the floor is going to be yours in just one more sentence. My problem, and just telling you what irritates me here, is hadar, in my mind, should be relative to what the species looks like when it grows naturally. And in this case of a hadas mitzvah, I'm not trying to be a machmir here, but I would have intuitively thought that if most of its olam fell off, you don't even have most of its olam on the top level of the ba'ad, as we'll see later on, then with regard to an asa mitzvah, 3 out of 7 is a very bad record, and it's not hadar. Yeah.
Yeah. But, so, I understand what you're saying, but perhaps, if with the 3, most of the gvul is still covered,
it's obvious.
You're right. I was hoping you would take the words out of my mouth there, because I think I do have an answer, but it's not your answer. Doesn't mean that your answer is worse than mine. I didn't mean to say that. Don't get me wrong. What I mean to say is the following. If you recall last week, we were operating with 2 different categories, 2 different concepts, and they shouldn't be confused. One is called avos, and the other is called hadar. And even if I have avos, I still might be lacking in hadar. So, for example, again, let's just read the next Gemara, because I keep referring to the next Gemara. We might as well officially read it. And you'll see that distinction between avos and hadar. The Gemara says the following. How many lines down are we from the top? Let's count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down from the top. Turn around, button at the end of the 6th line. This is the official beginning of our new sugya. Again, we want to get to the sugya Bari Bar Yirmiyah of Tichli. Don't believe me, I'm very eager to get to that sugya. It's a very profound sugya. But just to say that we didn't skip anything in terms of what's considered a hadas, that's kosher for the mitzvah. Tana Rabbanan, Yavshu Rov Olav. Okay? So let's stop here for a minute. We're gonna salvage the situation in the next line, right? Are you with me, Mitch? Again, you have the Steinsaltz Gemara.
Mine says Noshu.
Yeah, you have Noshu Rov Olav, and I have Yavshu Rov Olav. Okay, fine. So we'll get to Noshu Rov Olav in just a minute, but right now we'll just read the text that we have Yavshu Rov Olav. Okay. Let's assume for our purposes, Mitch, again, we could always slice this into more thin layers, but Yavshu and Noshu are the same. We're now lacking most of the olive. And if I would stop here in this price, so unless you have something to salvage this hadas, what should be the status of the hadas?
Puzzle.
It should be puzzle. It should be puzzle. It's not hadar. And even if I'll grant you that there are three olim and I can fulfill the requirement of avos, I would still say that it's possible because of a chisar and hadar if rov olim fell off. Why then does this brisa, again we're before Rav Chisda, but before Rav Chisda qualifies this brisa, why is it that this hadas, most of the olim are completely null and void? Okay, either they fell off or they became dry. Nevertheless, you can use it. Says the Brice with the following qualifications, because Nisharu Bo Shlosha Bade Olim Lachim, because we're still left with 3 Badim of Olim Lachim. We're not in the most, let's say, you know, disastrous situation. We can still salvage this, because what we're left with is 3 Bade Olim Lachim. What does that mean? We're left with 3 Badim of Olim Lachim, so we still have enough to fulfill the requirement of Hadar, and therefore it's kosher. Amrav Chizda, Uberosh Kol Echad V'Echad. Now, where's the sensitive point here? If you look at a bad, a stem of Hadas, where do you put the most sensitive spot? Elio, where?
On the top.
So in this case, what you have is, you have Olim Lachim Berosh Kol Bad V'Bad. Okay, now for some reason, we don't know exactly why, but let's assume that, you know, everything goes bust of the rush, right? I call Olech bust a rush. And that's going to salvage this, the status of this Bad of Hadassim. Otherwise, if it wasn't Berosh, it wouldn't help me. Even if, let's say, for example, you have a lot of olim, and even if these olim would be multiple in such a way, there are enough of them to cover the stem, chafuas eitzo, if you remember that concept, but nevertheless, it would be a psul of hadar. And why is it a psul of hadar? Because yavshu rov olav, or in Mitch's case, Naflu, Nashru, Rov Olam. Rov Olam are gone. If Rov Olam are gone, I can grant you that it's Avos. But nevertheless, it's lacking in Hadar. How does the Braisa, the way Rav Chizkiah interpret the Braisa, salvage Hadar? Because the Rosh called Bad V'Bad, we still have Shlosha Olim Lachim. That itself reestablishes, or I should say, maintains the status of the Bad as Hadar. By the way, Rashi, if you take a look three lines down from the top, he's very meticulous about reading this Gemara. He says that when Rav Chizda adds his stipulation, he says it's got to be Shlosha Badim. Ubechol Bad Vivad Shlosha Olim Lachim. In other words, he needs three Badim. What would be if one of the Badim alone out of the three would have, well, even if we'd say two Badim out of the three would be left with Shlosha Olim? That would not be enough. Rashi insists that's got to be Shlosha Badim. Ubechol Bad V'Bad, each one of the Badim has Shlosha Olim. And where are these Shlosha Olim? The next Rashi, B'Rosh Kol Echad. Shu Olim Lachim B'Rosh HaBadim. Abu Bem Tsoim Lav Hadar Hu. So Rashi points out that the sensitive point which establishes Hadar is got to be not in the middle of the Bad, but it's got to be on the top of the Bad. And that's got to be true for how many Badim?
Three
Badim. In other words, Rashi wants to see that this Hadar in the integration of three Badim. If I would isolate one Bad on its own, that would be a problem. Rashi wants to see the beauty or the Hadar of these Hadassim in the combination of three Badim. But one thing we see crystal clear, we're not dealing with Avos. If we're dealing with Avos, then we would need to fulfill this requirement throughout the entire Hadas. The Rosh, the top of the Hadas, would not be sufficient to make something into Avos. Avos has to reflect the entire Bad. The answer is we have Avos. What we're lacking in is Hadar. If we're lacking in Hadar, then if we have three Badim, the tops of which have three Olim Lachim, we can combine them together and see the entire three Badim as one set of Hadar. So we see that there's a fundamental distinction here between Hadar and Avos. And therefore, I come back to my original question. And here's where I want to do battle with you. In the case of Hadas of Asa Mitzrah, well, how many leaves do we start with?
Seven.
And now we're down to three. And we're down to three even at the top of the Bad. If that be the case, then where is Hadar? You'll tell me, but there are still three Olim Yevashim, or three Olim attached on the top of the Bad. But three is less than a majority. And therefore, how do you have Hadar? That's my question. So again, Avos you have in all cases. But Hadar you don't have unless you have Rov of the Olim. Rov of the Olim is a bare requisite in order to establish Hadar. There's no Rov of Olim in this case of Hadas Mitzrah. Avi, you wanted to say something?
No, I just want to say, I don't think you need Rov of the Olim. You need Shlosha Olim. Rashi is Medakdek. You just said Rashi Medakdek. Shlosha Badin, B'chol Bad B'chad, Shlosha Olin.
Correct.
Three Olin for Hadar as well.
Correct, but that's not logical in the case of Asa Mitzrah.
Even in Asa Mitzrah, it does three Olin do Avos, and three Olin also does Hadar.
Why? That's my question. Logically, it doesn't make sense to me. I'm not comfortable with that. You're left with a minority of Olim, but you've achieved that magic number three. Why is that enough to establish Hadar?
Rav, if we have on the Lulav 10 Hadassim, but only three are kosher, it's fine.
As long as the other seven are not min, the other six are not minachir. Okay,
yeah,
fine. I don't want to get them.
But we don't say, well, the robber pastor. We just don't see it. It's not there.
Why? Could you just formulate again? You're on to something very hot, Ziv. I just want to, you know, sometimes the formulation has to be.
We see it as if.
I want you to hit the nail on the head.
As if it's not there.
Why? Because all we need is three olam.
Yeah.
All you need is three. So, Rabosai, there's a very important principle here. And that is that the four olim nosafim, the four additional olim in the case of Asa Mitzrayim, are not part of the Hechsher Hadas. Whatever contributes to the Hechsher Hadas is going to establish Hadar. And once I isolate and define what contributes to the Hechsher, to the Kashrus of the Hadas, then I deal with Rove and Mute. Can I establish Hadar, or am I lacking in Hadar? But now I have a surplus of olim that are totally unnecessary. As we'd say in modern Hebrew, miyutarim. They're completely superfluous. Once I define them as superfluous, the halacha doesn't say, but they're there, and that's how they grow. In its natural state, this mitzri has seven olim. No. As far as the halacha is concerned, it's like Zev's paradigm where I add hadas and psulim. Those hadas and psulim are not part of my chefetz shel mitzvah. They don't detract or contribute to my mitzvah of ulkachtem lachem. The four olim that are completely superfluous in the case of the mitzri are not in any way integrated into the hadas as an object of a mitzvah. They don't add or subtract from my ulakachtem lachem. This to me is a radical chiddush. It's a breakthrough. I would have said, look, true, I don't need the extra four. I could have done before. But Rabbanu Shalom, this is the way it grows in nature. And therefore, this hadas is made up of seven olim. And if you remove four out of the seven, that's not hadar. Kamash v'lon, it's a gevaldig chiddush that I see in this Gemara. That even though in its natural state, the mitzri grows with seven olim, I don't define the four extra ones that are unnecessary to be part and parcel of my hadas. If I would, then certainly the absence of four, or the dryness of four out of the seven, would remove its status as hadar. The reason I maintain its status as hadar, Avi, as you said before, is because I only need three out of the seven olim. So forget about the fact that it's a mitzri. It's unbelievable. The Gemara is now being mechadesh that not only is an asa de mitzrah kosher for the mitzvah of hadas, but it has the identical status in terms of defining the hadas and its essence as a regular classical hadas. Drop the shem levi and you're left with three olim. The extra four olim are completely superfluous. I would use the phrase, if I could, kiman de lesser dog. It doesn't add, it doesn't detract. And therefore, if four out of the seven fall off, I'm still left with the identical hadas that I started with, not physically, not according to the view of the naked eye, but in halachic terms, the other four olim were never, ever part of this hadas. And therefore, their absence would not undermine the status of hadar. Okay, Rabosi, that's as far as last week is concerned. Now we're up to the sugya of Bai Rav Yirmiyah. The Gemara says the following. First we learn Ula Bar Chinina. Ula Bar Chinina tells us, Niktam Rosho V'Olsa Bo Tamra Kosher. Rav Yirmiyah, as we'll soon see, is not so thrilled about that. He's not so convinced that that should be so. Why is he not convinced that it should be so? I mean, it's a very good argument. Logically, you've replaced the head, and now it's no longer Niktam Rosho. Also Botamra. Yeah, but when was it also Botamra, my friends?
On
Yontif itself, what was the status of this Hadas going into Yontif? Why not? Because it was Niktam Rosho. Can you take a mitzvah which entering into Yontif is disqualified, change its status physically, and therefore be machshirit? Can I take a mitzvah which in its initial state is pasul and now be machshirit? And Rabosai, we ourselves asked this question one time before when we learned the Mishnah. What did we see in the Mishnah? When did he remove the berries, Rabosai, in the Mishnah? On Yontif. Was he allowed to do so? No. But again, forget about that. Let's say he was allowed to do so. We'll find Horas Heter. fine. The Shei Mitzvah, it wasn't Tikkun Mana, I don't know what. You know, Shasat Chak, we'll find the answer for it, right? But that's not my issue. My issue was that it was Rov HaNavim, it had too many berries in relation to the Olim, to the leaves, when I entered into Yontif. Now on Yontif, he wants to take Adas, that was what? Pasul and be Machshirit. Can he do so on Yontif? We raised this question. I think, Aaron, you raised the question. But we never came to a conclusion. And in fact, I'm not sure that there is a conclusion. This might be a case of let it stand. Because boy, Rav Yirmiyah didn't know. Niktam Rosho Me'er of Yontif. So as I'm entering into Yontif, we have a case of Adas. That's Pasul. It's disqualified. The mitzvah doesn't have a head to it. The also Botam Rav Yontif. On Yontif itself, we solve the problem. We didn't do it, you know, artificially, but naturally, it grew a tamra. Wow, that's exciting. It grew a tamra, now has a head on. So it should be kosher. Mahu, says Rabbi Yirmiyah, I'm not sure. Yesh dichu yetzel mitzvahs, o lo. Lo means ain dichu yetzel mitzvahs. And basically, Rabbi Yirmiyah is asking a question about the relationship between two areas of halacha. What are the two areas? What's the paradigm example, which only Rashi will reveal to us? The Gemara doesn't reveal to us. Kodshim Karbanos. And now we're dealing with what? Mitzvos. What's the relationship between Karbanos and Mitzvos? Meaning, do Mitzvos have the same status as Karbanos? With regard to Karbanos, we have halacha of what? In one word? Dichui. With regard to Mitzvos, I don't know. Should we take this concept of dichui as it applies to karbanos, and should we superimpose it, copy and paste it onto mitzvos? And Rashi explains. Says Rashi. Again, we're going to come back to the Rashis that I'm skipping in just a minute. Yesh dichui etzel mitzvos, which is really the third Rashi in this sugya. Klomar. No heges. Toras dichui etzel mitzvos kishem shenoheges etzel korbanos. That's called yesh dichui etzel mitzvos. Diem nire v'nidches mishenishchita amrit idoche. The chiddush, says Rashi, of dichui in korbanos is that the psul was chal when. Rashi has one important word in. Misha, Nishchita. What was the status of the Karbanos before the Shechita?
Fine.
It was fine. It was kosher. So it was Nires. It was Chazin. So the status of this Kachim, of this Karban, was Roy. It was kosher. Now something happens after Shechita and it becomes Nidches. There's a Siba. I'm going to call it here for the purpose of our discussion. A Siba Sapsul. Some reason to passel it, which is called the Sivas Hapsul, emerged subsequent to the Shechita. And then what happens? We remove the Sivas Hapsul. The Sivas Hapsul was undermined, was removed, was reversed. Shall we go back to the original state of this karma? What was the original state of the karma before Shechita? It was kosher. Can we now reinstitute or resurrect the kashrus of the karma? And the answer is, a new halacha was formulated in Kachim, namely, Yesh Dichui Eitzel Mizbeach. As far as Kachim, as far as Karbanis is concerned, there's a new halacha of Dichui. Dichui means that the process of passeling the carbon is irreversible. Kevan the Nifsal, Nifsal. Kevan the Nidches, Nidches. And now we have a suffix. Shall we say, no Heges Torah's Dichui Eitzel Mitzvos? Meaning that the Cheftishol Mitzvah, what was its status originally? Again, we're following the paradigm of Karbanos. Help me out over here. What was the status of this object?
Kosher.
It was kosher. Then it became non-kosher. It became pasul. And then once again, we removed the Siva Sapsul, and it became kosher. I mean, it sounds like the sugya of Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos, right? You know, I'm sure we're all there. It was Mukhan entering into Shabbos. Then it became Muktzah. Then we removed the Sivas al Muktzah. Shall we say that now it reverts back to its original state? The Hachana was somehow in suspended animation, and now we can resurrect the Hachana, and it's not Muktzah. And Takami Paskin ain't Muktzah L'Chatzi Shabbos. Here in the case of mitzvahs, can we say that the original status of the mitzvah, namely it was what? it was royal mitzvah, so remains intact, even though at this moment on Yontif it became nidches, we can still assume that that dichui is only temporary. That's called ein dichui etzel mitzvahs. Or should we say no? Keva de nidches nidches kishem shenoheges etzel karbonos. Just like in karbonos, there's a new halach of dichui. We can never reinstate the original kashrus of the karbon. The imnira v'nidches mishnishcham rinan yidache v'sulo hadar chazi. It doesn't go back to its original state of chazi of being royal mizbeach. Hachinami, so too in the case of hadas, even though entering into yontif it was kosher, it was roy, now it became what? Niktam, it became posul. Hoil v'nidchek shenitka niktam sulo mahader sulo hader v'michze balias ha-tamra. The growth of the tamra could not change the status of nidches. There's a new din of dichui, which we derive from kabbalah, so we apply here to mitzvos, and therefore, even though alias ha-tamra, it became possible.
You say the niktam happened after?
Okay, Mitch, whose question are you asking now? Rashi's question. Rashi's going to ask this question. It was already niktam before we entered Yom Tov. Yeah. But wait a minute. Rashi's going to ask that question, but we're not up to it yet. Okay? So Mitch, your question is in Rashi, but right now it's classified information. Why am I classifying it? Because I want to go back for a moment to the statement of Ula Bar Chidina. Zev, what do you say?
Doesn't the Mishnah say if it all happened before Yom Tov, it was fine?
If it happened before Yom Tov, it's fine? I don't know. The Mishnah, as far as I remember, doesn't say anything of also about Tamara, does it? It says Niktam is possible in the Mishnah. I apologize, I don't have the Mishnah in front of me. Can you read the Mishnah? Does it say anything about also about Tamra Kosher? I don't think so. No. Zev, do me a favor. You review the Mishnah, so I just want to finish my thought process, because otherwise I'm going to forget where I'm holding. Okay, so you go over the Mishnah, and with one ear you'll listen to the Mishnah, the other ear you'll listen to me. Okay, so what does it say here? Tani Ula Bar Chinina Niktam Rosho V'Olsebo Tamra Kosher. Now wait a second. When did this happen? If Ula is addressing a case where Niktam Rosho took place on Erev Yontif, and also the Tamra on Yontif, and I have no proof to that effect, but just, you know, play the game with me. You know, let's offer all the possible scenarios. If this be the case, again, Niktam took place on Erev Yontif, also both Tamra on Yontif, then Lichora, Mitch, what would have to be the din in that case? Even if I hold Ain dichui etzel mitzvahs, what should be the din? It should be possible. Again, the only discussion of ain dichui etzel mitzvahs is only because it started in the status of what? Of nirav chazi, it was kosher. So what I'm forced to say is the following: if I understand Rashi's presentation here in the context of Rav Yirmiyah, then when I go back one line to Ula Bar Chinina, I'm going to have to assume that Ula Bar Chinina was Mekil and he was Machshir the also Batamra case, because entering into Yontif, it was not Niktam, and therefore it was Kosher, and once it was Kosher, I need to passel it through the halach of the mechanics of Dichui, and I don't have the mechanics of Dichui in the case of Mitzvah. What Rabbi Yirmiyah was vacillating about was crystal clear to Ula Ein Dichui Eitzel Mitzvahs. He was willing to be Machshirt. But it's going to have to be a case in which entering into Yontif, it was Eino Niktam Rosho. Lo Niktam. When did the Niktam take place? On Yontif itself. Because again, if it took place on Yom Erev Yontif, then it was never Royal Mitzvaso. And therefore, I don't even need the Halach of Dichui or Ein Dichui. It would not make any sense. Okay, that could be. But let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, Vahashta. What's Hashta? In the development of the Sugya, at this particular juncture, Lo Diek, he's not being careful. Okay? Bain I would add a word here, just again, I'm not trying to change the text of Rashi, but just saber to ozen, as we say, you know, just to make it easier for everybody. Lodik lechalek. Okay, he's not differentiating. Bein dichui meikara lenira v'nitche. Says Rashi, if we want to be mekil and say ein dichui etzel mitzvos, says Rashi, we could only do so in a case of nira v'nitche. Meaning, if you want to say, you know what, mitzvos do not equal karbanos. Karbanos has a din of dichui, mitzvos do not have a din of dichui. If that be the case, you could be machshir it because it was nira v'nitcha. But if it was nitcha meikara, in other words, it was never entered into the base hakasher, base hakashrus. It was parceled right going in from the get-go. And that be the case, then, even if I hold ein dichui, even if I want to suspend the power of dichui of karbanos with regard to mitzvah, saying mitzvah doesn't apply, but nevertheless it was what? It was dachui meikara. And if it was dachui meikara, then we have a serious problem over here. Says Rashi, lo diek. We're going to have to assume lo diek. Why? Because the high did niktam, our case of niktam, is a case where it says explicitly, when was it niktam? May Erev Yontif. Rashi's not inventing that. It says it in the Gemara. Niktam may Erev Yontif. And then it says also Botamra Biyontif. Is lo nira me olam. That's called dichui meikara. Another phrase for, you know, you can substitute for lo nira me olam. Dachui meikara. With dachui meikara, you can substitute lo nira me olam. It never had the status of what? Of being chazi, of being roi, of being nira. So basically, Rashi is saying that in the transmission here, something is a little bit loose. There's a loose boreg here that we have to tighten, because in the exact case of Rabbi Yirmiyah, even if I grant you, Mitch, that ain't dichui etzel mitzvahs, it doesn't apply. You cannot salvage this object for a mitzvah if it never was kosher to begin with. The logic of Rashi, and I think this is what the Pnei Yeshua has in mind, if anybody has time to go through this long arichus of the Pnei Yeshua, is that there's some sort of quasi-chazaka alokam, meaning to say that ein dichui etzel mitzvahs means that at least at one moment in time, this object had a chazaka on being kashrus. You can only put a bandage, a barrier, and prevent it from being kosher in the intermediary stage, in the middle of this transitory stage in which it was possible, was niktam, but it's still, what still lurks in the shadows, what still, you know, what the Heft Shal Mitzvah still holds on to, is its status as Roy, as kosher, entering into Yont. So we're sort of in a temporary blockage situation, but the Heft Shal Mitzvah still retains its claim, so to speak, to kashrus. And once we remove that blockage, because also Otamra, then maybe we could say it goes back to its original state in its chazok de beikara of being kosher. But if it was never kosher to begin with, it was niktam rosho entering into yontif, then it's called lo chazi meolam, it was dochi meikara, and it never had this chazok, it had never had a claim to kashrus, you can't make it kosher on yontif. That seems to be the svar that Rashi operates with. And now I have to ask you the following question. At what moment in time do we say that it was posel meikara? For example, let's say it was a chveis niktam rosho on Hanukkah, you know, or on Rosh Hashanah. Is that enough to describe it as dochi meikara as far as Sukkot is concerned? I mean, we're holding in Rosh Hashanah, we're in Tu Bishvat. Well, what relevance does it have? There's got to be some moment in time which is in close proximity to Yontif, and that's when I can define whether it is already Nidches or it's not Nidches. And I think that the answer to this question lies in the Rashi that we skipped. Let's go back. Let's retrace our steps to the previous Rashi. Rashi adds a word here which the Gemara doesn't have. It's the first word in Rashi, V'olso bo tamra b'yontif. Right, Mishenegad. Right, what's the root of the word Mishenegad? Eged. Right, the last three letters. So Rashi is focusing on the Aguda. Rashi says, at what point in time what is the critical moment, if you will, in which we have to analyze, sort of, you know, subject this hadas to the scrutiny of the microscope, you know, put it under the microscope and decide whether or not it was pasul meikara. It was pasul when it became a hadas, so to speak. We're not going back to the original growth of hadas, or even to the moment it was cut down from the, you know, it was niktzar, it was nitlash, but rather to the moment that this hadas was what?
Oh my God.
Was bound to the other. To the other meaning. That's the critical moment when it was negad that we could say, is it kosher or is it not kosher? Is it niktam or is it gadol bo tamra? And it's kosher because there's a replacement for the top, for the head of the hadas. And Rashi says it all depends upon negad. And therefore at the moment of negad, it was possible because only later it was also about Tamra. When did Negad, when did the Aguda take place and when did the also about Tamra take place?
Before what? Before Yom.
Excellent. The Negad took place Erev Yontif. The Aguda takes place on Erev Yontif. The also about Tamra took place on Yontif itself. Therefore, Rashi says Lodayik in the next Rashi because this is a case of Dachui Meikara. Because at the moment of Agad, it was already Dachui insofar as it was in a state of Niktam before also Tamra. The also Tamra took place way later on Yontif itself. I want you to fast forward for a moment to Rashi towards the end of the Daf. This is Rashi 12 lines up from the bottom. I think Daniel, this was Rashi you were referring to. Rashi says, "Lulav misukah lo yolif." Now, in the case of sukkah, what we're going to establish is that if the sukkah was pasul, and then you were machshir it, that's not enough. You're going to have to start from scratch. What's that called in one word? That I have to start from scratch? That's called asiyah. Great, taseh. Meaning, in sukkahs there's halach of taseh, of asiyah. You have to create the sukkah. And it's got to be created behechsher. That's called taseh. You have to make a sukkah kshera. If you just simply remove a psul, and now it automatically, I call it b'shev yaltas, meaning without any action, without any asiyah, it has all the ingredients of kashrus, that's not going to be good enough. That's not going to be sufficient. And that's called tasev alomen asli. And the question is, can we and should we equate a lulav to a sukkah and therefore engender a halacha requirement of asiyah, just like there's halacha of asiyah in sukkah, there's halacha of asiyah in lulav. And Rashi says the following. Rashi says that if there's a halacha of asiyah in lulav, when would that halacha asiyah kick in? When would it apply? So Rashi, I'm sorry, I didn't mean when in the sense, you know, you may be right. I mean, we're going to analyze that, Mitch, and we're going to see there are two different Rashis here. There's a ratio of this Rashi and the Sefer, but I didn't mean to say when in the time clock, you know, in the Hilchas Zmanim. But what I meant to ask is when, meaning what is Asiya in lulav? If Asiya in Sukkah means, let's say, putting on the Schach, and therefore you need schach kosher that was placed by the individual. If there's schach posel and then he removes the schach posel, that's going to be a problem of lo mina osli because he's not really doing the asiyah. The asiyah is when he sets up the schach on the sukkah. What would be its parallel in lulav? Agad. And that's what Rashi says over here. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Kevan di sha'agdo bipsul." The aguda, if it was done bipsul, let's say for example it was already niktam at the moment of agad, and this Rashi should be connected with our Rashi, Dibra Maskel, also about tamra, that the original creation of this hadas, as far as halach of mitzvah is concerned, was at the moment of agad, and at that moment it was niktam rosho, so it was bipsul, and later on you want to have also about tamra to make it kosher, but at the moment of the asiyah it was pasul, and to the extent in which we're going to parallel and make an analogy between lulav and sukkah, we need that the asiyah be behechsher. The asiyah and lulav has to be at the moment of agad. And then Rashi says beautifully, look at the next five words, beautiful Rashi. Rashi says, V'nikra olav shem lulav shel mitzvah. At what point can we call, so to speak, can we classify this lulav as a lulav shel mitzvah? When is the critical moment? Right?
At the moment. That's still the same?
Well, again, we're gonna have to see according to the Chachamim, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Right now, Rashi's going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's lulav tzarech agad. So therefore, the moment of agad should be identified with the moment of asiyah. I'm creating the lulav and nikra shem lulav of at the moment of agad, according to Rabbi Yehuda, because agad is critical. And at that moment, if it was niktam rosho, what I have is an asiyah bipsul, parallel to the case of putting schach on the sukkah that was pasul. And therefore Rashi says, Bishas dichui is nidcheli olam. Now Rashi again has the problem. Well, what do you mean, dichui is nidcheli olam? If you hold yesh dichui etzel mitzvahs, that only applies if it was kosher at one moment. Here, if the critical moment is the moment of agad, then at that moment, if you already had a niktam rosho situation, then when the lulav became a lulav v'nikra shmo olav, from the get-go, when nikra shem olav, it was already possible, then l'chora, that has nothing to do with the din of dichi etzel mitzvahs. This is Rashi l'shitas, because Rashi says dichi etzel mitzvahs means it once was kosher, and then it became possible. Here, it was nidche liolam from the very inception. V'yachal gavdolo nira v'nidchu el dichi meikara. And this is the case of dichi meikara. And we'll have to see what... But again, do you see how Rashi is very consistent? Rashi is operating with the following premises, the following principles. Principle number one is that if something was possible from the very get-go, from the start, that's called Dichui Meikara. Rashi says it here, on the top, with regard to Niktam Roshan, he reiterates it here, on the bottom. Number two, Rashi says, when does the principle of Dichui, if it applies to mitzvahs, kick in? Only if it was Roy at some moment. Then Rashi has a third principle. Well, what is that critical moment? That critical moment, says Rashi, is the moment that Nikra Shem Lulav Olav. It became a Lulav. Then Rashi has a fourth premise. When does it become a Lulav? According to review, at the moment of Egen. Correct? He says, Bahai Dinoket Plugtayu B'miyaton B'yantif Mishum D'stoma Basar di agdehu deha biyantiflo agidle. This is all according to whom? According to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, when do you set up the agad? Erev yantif. Because if you set it up on yantif, you are creating a chefetz shalulav lemitzvaso on yantif, which is a violation of Isur yantif. That's all according to whom? According to Rabbi Yehuda. Oh. Now Rashi says, "V'ilo tzarich agad." Whose sheath is now? Is Rashi introducing at this point the Chachamim of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanan? They hold lulav ein tzarich agad. Therefore, itzrich leminkat biyantif. Mishum di lav the kodesh hayom akati lo chala leizman mitzvah v'lo shem mitzvah lemikre dichui. Rashi says that according Bishlam, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can create a lulav on yontif. According to Rabbi Yehuda, how do you create a lulav? I'm sorry, you can create a lulav on erev yontif. How do you create a lulav on erev yontif? Why not apply the principle of akati lo chalalei zman de mitzvah? The answer is because the Torah requires agad. And if the Torah requires agad, and agad according to Torah law can only be achieved when? On Erev Yontif. It means that it is Asi Zman Mitzvah. It's not a Kati Lo Asi Zman Mitzvah. The Zman Mitzvah, as far as setting up the Lulav, is Erev Yontif. Why? Because Lulav Tzarech Agat. Because I must make the Agat on Erev Yontif, and that's when the Shem Lulav is Chal on the Lulav. According to review, before then it's not a lulav, and therefore I must do the agad, and I must do the agad on erev yontif. So that's going to be the critical moment. But here it says that at what point did this situation occur? Did the situation arrive on yontif? Why does he mention yontif? According to review, it's even erev. It's got to be erev yontif. And for Rashi gives the answer, because we're going according to Rabbanon. And what do the Rabbanon hold? Lulav ain't tzarech agad. If lulav ain't tzarech agad, then when do you do the agad? You can do the agad on yontif. Yeah, but wait a minute. Rashi is saying that the nafkamina between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon is only in terms of when you did the agad. And when the Gemara says it was on yontif, that's according to and reflecting the shita of the Chachamim, who hold lulav ain't tzarech agad. But if you ask me, at what point? Not Mitch, your answer. I mean, I'm not focusing now what point in the clock. I'm asking what maisa represents the asiya, such that at this point I want to know whether the asiya was behechsher or bipsul, and what's the answer? At the moment of aguda, of agat. Here Rashi makes no distinction between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, it's always going to be the critical moment of asiya and chalal of shame lulav is always going to be agad. Whether I hold like the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda lulav tzarech agad, or even if I hold like the Chachamim sheet of lulav ain't tzarech agad, agad becomes the critical moment of asiya. When did it take place? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it took place on Erev Yontif. According to the Chachamim, it took place on Yontif. So when does the shame lulav chal according to Chachamim? Again, not when on the clock, but when in terms of the asiya of the mitzvah of lulav. When did now the mitzvah of lulav emerge? With agat. Again, Elio, don't fall into the trap here. It's very sensitive. What I mean to say is the following. Sometimes I ask the question when. What is it? Dande? How do you say when? Right? When I ask the question when, I don't mean when on the clock.
I mean when.
When does the asiya take place and the shame lulav emerge? And the answer of Rashi to that question of when, meaning what maisa constitutes the asiya of the lulav, is absolutely common to both Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. And what's the answer? Agad. Not Yontif or Erev Yontif. You're right. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it took place on Erev Yontif. That's when I have to do the Agad. I have no choice in the matter. According to Chachamim, I can do the Agad on Yontif. But in both cases, whether I'm in the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda or I'm in the Shita of Chachamim, the crucial moment of Asiya, again, not in terms of Yontif versus Erev Yontif, but in terms of my action of engendering a lulav and the chal shem lulav olav, is the same according to both, namely with agat. That's why Rashi upstairs, Dibra Maschil, vi also botamra bi yontif, and Rashi wants to know at what moment did the hadas become kosher, because now it has a tamar, it has a hat, a head to replace the niktam rosho. Rashi says mishenegat. Mishenegat is after mishenishchat, meaning it already was pasul, says Rashi, at the moment of aguda. If it was already pasul at the moment of aguda, says Rashi, lo dayik ben dichui meikara levein nira v'nidcha. This is a case of dichui meikara, because the niktam rosho was the description of the hadas at the moment of what, of agad, that itself is called dichui meikara, because the moment of agad is the moment in which chal shem lulav olav. Correct? And again, whether he does the agat on Erev Yom Tov according to Rabbi Yehuda, or he does the agat on Yom Tov itself according to the Chachamim, is irrelevant. The crucial question is, what did this hadas look like? How did you describe it at the moment of agat? And the answer is, it was niktam rosho. It only became also lo tamra mishenegad, meaning subsequent to the aguda. That's what Rashi classifies as dichui meikara, means that at the moment that chal shem lulav olav, it was niktam rosho. That's called dichui meikara. And the pella here is, what does agad have to do with creating the shem lulav according to the chachamim? The Chachamim don't require agad. What engenders that? Why would anyone be motivated to make the agad according to the Chachamim? What pasuk in Chumash would you quote? Don't know the answer at once. I can't hear so many people at once. Again, why? I'm both say every year Sukkot time we do agad, right? Why do we do it? Again, it's about time we knew the answer. No, that's according to Rabbi Yehuda. Lekachta lochem lekicha tava means with an agad. But we pass like chachamim. Lulav ain't zarech agad. So why do we do agad? Nobody knows the answer to that question. I'm sort of embarrassed. I thought we discussed this in the past. That's called noy mitzvah. What's noy mitzvah? What pasuk would you quote for noy mitzvah that applies to every single mitzvah? Excellent, Zekei Levi Aveihu. So what does Zekei Levi Aveihu have to do with creating a shem lulav? You want to embellish your lulav? Tovo lecha bracha. That's wonderful. I'll give you a shishi. But, and that has nothing to do with the shem lulav. Rashi is telling me a radical chiddush over here. That even according to Chachamim who don't require agad, nevertheless the agad is more than just noy mitzvah. The agad, although it's not required, creates the shem lulav. And before the agad, it's not a shem lulav.
Just look like it.
And it could be even the evad. I'll tell you why. Let's say, for example, a person would have an agad of hadasim, where Rove Nisrabu Anav Al Olav. There were more Anavim than Olav. What would he have to do now? Just pluck off the Anavim? Oh no. He's gotta unravel the whole bunch and then retie it again. After he takes off the Anavim. Why does he have to unravel it and retie it again? Because Tasav Olav and Asuv. Because otherwise that's a problem of Tassim and Osu. You're telling me, wait a minute, that makes sense according to Rabbi Yehuda, but Rashi's applying it even according to the Chachamim. In other words, the Chachamim also embrace the Shita that the Asiyah of the Dalmidim, the Lulav, and the Shem Lulav is engendered, is clinched by Agad. Agad now becomes critical. And I'll bring you a right. The Gemara says on Daf Mem Vav, we didn't get to it yet, that the moment of Agad, we recite a bracha. What's Shechiyonu at the time of Agad? Where do we find that in Zekei Levi Aveihu to beautify a mitzvah, we make a bracha? Apparently, Agad, even according to Chachamim, is much more than just Zekei Levi Aveihu. It's halacha. Although the Chachamim are not in Rabbi Yehuda's camp that it's absolutely indispensable, but nevertheless, it does create the Chefetz Shalula. And here I want to ask you the following question. Why does Gemara think ain't dichui eitzel mitzvahs? What's the difference between karbanos and mitzvahs? In karbanos, yesh dichui eitzel mitzvahs.
Mitzvah.
Good. I didn't think of that. That's an excellent
point.
What
did you say?
Avi is suggesting that maybe the aloch of dichui is a separate aloch in mizbeach, where there's aloch of ritzui. The only thing is, you're going to get into trouble here with those shitos who apply. You remember the Ritva that we discussed on the Adav test? The Ritva says that even the lulav is halacha of ritzui. But I think the problem is even more profound, because the Gemara is saying yesh dichui eitzel mitzvos, all mitzvos. The Gemara thinks that this principle, if it applies to mitzvos, should apply straight across the board. So I don't know, to say that the Gemara is vacillating. It's a good point, Avi. You know, 2 points, touche. I would consider it seriously. I was thinking about something else. What's unique about Karbanos is that we're not only dealing with psul. What else applies to Karbanos? Let me backtrack for a moment. Give it another 5 minutes. If you have to leave, go. What happens? Do we have any veterinarians here in the audience? No? What happens if I take an animal which was already sanctified on his back to a veterinarian and he brings the animal back to health? Or I'll give you an example. There's a sugya chulin about basar b'chalav. Let's say I cook meat and milk together, or I soak them together. If you hold Shriya is harei kibishul, let's say. Okay, according to that mandiyah. So for 24 hours the meat is soaking in milk. And then I would take the meat, this is called efshal hafrid in the Gemara's language of chulin, and I squeeze out every last drop of milk from the meat. What's the din? Can I take something that's a cheftz of basar b'chalav and reverse the process? The Gemara says no. I can't do it. I can't take a treifa and make it into a kshera. I can't take basar b'chalav and reverse the process. Why? That's called a cheftz di sura. A cheftz di sura, unlike nedarim is only the exception to this rule, can never be reversed. Hoil v'nesar nesar. What's unique about karbanos in terms of the psul of a karban? If I establish that this karban is possible, it's also the mizbeach. Meaning, we're not just dealing with psul. In mitzvos, we're dealing with psul. You want to know whether the mitzvah is kosher or possible. If I took a psul of lulav, what's the repercussion? Can you patch me for it? I forfeit the mitzvah. But I haven't violated any isur. A cheftish of mitzvah, which is possible, is just that. It's possible. But its essence hasn't changed. The Torah doesn't impose upon me an isur to use that for the mitzvah. All my dealings with a cheftish of mitzvah are, is it kosher, is it not kosher? In the case of kachim and karbanos, we're not just asking one and only one question, is it kosher for the mitzvah? Have I been yotzei my chiv? Have I not been yotzei? I'm dealing with a much more profound question. Have I violated an isur if I bring it on the mizbeach? That might be a serious violation. I don't know if it incurs kares or not. You have to know if psuei hamikdash, if there's an isur of kares on the mizbeach. But certainly, there's definitely a lav of bringing kach and psulim on the mizbeach. So the Gemara says the following: you know what? Ain't dichui etzal mitzvahs. When do we apply the halach of dichui? That's only in karbanos with the halach of a cheftz surah. When we establish the psul, that psul has a repercussion of creating a cheftz surah. Cheftz surah is irreversible. But in the case of mitzvahs, we're not establishing a cheftz surah. The question is, does this object fulfill all the prerequisites, all the conditions for fulfilling a mitzvah? Can I obtain a kiyum of a mitzvah? The answer is, it may not. But nothing has changed in the object. No iser has been injected into every fiber of every molecule of the object, such that I can't remove that iser. Iser cannot be removed. Okay, Rabbosai, we'll stop here. This was just sort of like, stage one. And we'll come back, B'li Neder, and study in stage two all the Gemaras that we skipped in the middle here, B'li Neder. And that will do on Yom Revi'i.
The puzzle korban is not reversible, right?
Because it's not just puzzle, there's also what? What do you add to a puzzle of korban? What extra level do you add to the psul? Isur. It becomes us. Now the korban is us. That penetrates into every fiber. That's like nevela or trefa or basar b'chalav. You cannot make it kosher.
And that doesn't happen with mitzvahs. It's different. We can fix.
Right, because in Isurim it's irreversible. You, even if you remove the Sibas HaIsur, it's no longer a Trefa. Trefa means the Yudches Trefa means you're going to die within 12 months. I can remove that if I abracadabra. You know, I go to the best veterinarian in town. I'm sure there's got to be someone here in this area who makes a lot of money as a veterinarian. I don't know that there is, but I can't believe there's not. With all the dogs in the neighborhood, you've got to have a good veterinarian here. Otherwise, chas shalom, the dogs are in bad shape. I don't know if they fix cats as well. I mean, They do.
But once it's pasur,
once it's asur, because in kach the two halachas, right, there's halacha psul, and then you engender halacha misur as far as mizbeach is concerned. So when I determine the nafkamina of a psul karma, and I'm talking about Israel got mizbeach, that's not so in mitzvahs. There's no Easter involved. Again, I wouldn't encourage you to use the pasul esrig, but I can't say that you get malchus for that. You know, get kareis for, you know, you forfeit the mitzvah.
Bracha, but that also.
Okay, that's something else. But I'm just saying, as far as the inherent status of the object, I could not say that there's an irreversible change, a transformation of the object in every fiber therein. That's how looking coach. Okay, then?
What is the timetable over the coming weeks?
Oh, yeah, we're coming to Tisha B'Av.
So next Monday, for example, we're meeting? Or?
When is Tisha B'Av? What day is it?
Tuesday
night?
A week Monday, tomorrow,
Monday night. So Monday is Erev Tishuvah. So if we have a Shira on Monday, it's got to be early, really, technically. I mean, I would be making, but, you know, I don't want to break the rules. You know, they say they found the Ruggish of learning even on Tishuvah. I mean, but you can't say that out loud, you know. So they asked the Ruggish of what's happens, how can you learn on Tishuvah? He says, a person who's not willing to get malchus for his mitzvahs, that's not called Mesiris Nefesh for a mitzvah. Again, it's not because, but that's what they say in the name of the Ruggit Shavu. No, the Ruggit Shavu was, he was the Mamish the Sarah Torah. So in any event, so this then, Wednesday we're okay, for sure.
And then after
Shabbat? We'll see, we'll take a vote on it. And then we have to take a vote on what Masechta we're learning in Elul.
That's the one you won't learn.
Yeah, right. Well, the other way around, you know, whatever you say. Oh, yeah, that's what you meant. I'm thinking hard and long about brachas. Because I want to prove that brachas is profound. You know, that people somehow think. Yeah, that brachas are. People think brachas is like, you know, bracha here and a mishabura here. It's so wrong. It's like,
whatever.
No, I'm just thinking, you know.
Okay,
yeah, laugh. My other option is Yevamos, but I'm afraid that people drop out after the first week. You know what I'm saying?
That first mission, the 15 cases.
Right. Yeah. I have to bring my book with the football. Yeah, the quarterback. But just I haven't learned Yevamos in so many years. I love to get back. It's a very profound mistake.
So Wednesday I can't be here, but you record these so I can get it in.
Okay, Mr. Shem, I'll try. If the machine is working.
Yeah. Okay. All right.